Office Show. I'm Laura, and this is Tina. Now, today, we're telling stories.
Yes, business documents can be stories. Even if you're not starting with once upon a time, people still expect to go on a journey when they open up a document or when they see a presentation.
Absolutely. And now, we've all seen and heard people who tell stories, but tell them badly.
Yeah, but I usually ignore you and you often just go away. But anyway, for the rest of us, we can get help from Microsoft Office. Today, we're going to show you how some very creative people use Office to capture their ideas and turn them into reality really quickly.
All right, we've got three stories to tell you today. A poet who uses OneNote to capture inspiration anywhere, a comic artist who uses Visio to work really quickly, and, believe it or not, an acclaimed novelist who writes fiction in PowerPoint.
I still think you're making that one up, but we'll see.
It's a true story. Now, first up, let's meet Joni Stangland of Seattle. She works for Microsoft Office, but she's also a poet who's published poems in some of the country's top literary journals. Take a look.
I've been writing poetry for decades, and I started getting really into it around in the early 90s, and then my first chapbook was published in the mid-90s. Well, I have this CaptureX pen that I write on a notepad, but it's also storing the text in the pen. So I capture all the images I get from wherever I am, and then later I can upload that text into OneNote. OneNote will convert my handwriting into typed text, and then I can just incorporate those images into the poems I'm working on. I have my laptop right here. And here I have some text that I already uploaded from the pen into OneNote. So I'll select that, and then I right-click it, and click Convert to Ink, click Ink to Text, and now I have my text, so I'll just copy that. And I want to find the poem I've been working on, so I will use Search. And let's see, I'll type Frog. And, well, here's the poem I've been working on, so I'll paste in that text, so I can decide where to put it. And here I have all my versions. I started out with a free write that just contains everything I wrote down, no matter whether I was on the bus or walking around. This usually happens over days. Just keep collecting and collecting, and I'll just keep writing. You know, I would not consider myself a geek. I love technology when it works. And again, this is one of the great things about OneNote. There's not a lot of ramp up. You open it up, you start writing, and it saves everything.
You can see more of Joni's tips for writers with her video series, A Writer's Guide to Office.
Of course, story doesn't come only in words. So what can you do in Microsoft Office to build and tell a visual story? Well, PowerPoint is the obvious answer. But here is David Salighetto, who uses Visio. And he creates comic strips that are very popular on the Microsoft Office blog. They reach millions of viewers around the world. So, David, you have a full-time job at Microsoft. How do you find the time to create comic strips?
I don't have any time to do the comic.
And is that why you use Visio?
Exactly.
Now, what is so simple about Visio? How does it make it happen so fast?
The great thing about Visio is that once you've created the shapes that you want to use, you can reuse them.
So tell me a little bit about what we're looking at on the screen.
This is my comic template. And you might recognize these two people here. I made them this morning.
I'm the natural blonde and Laura's the gray. I get it.
In Visio, it's as simple as drawing your shape. And I drew these using the built-in drawing tools. So here, I want to reuse both you guys in future comics. I'll drag you into my stencil.
Okay. And your stencil is like your master template area.
Yep. All the shapes I use in my comic. Okay. So from now on, I can reuse these shapes. So I'll just drag Laura.
So it's as simple as a drag and drop.
Yep.
Okay, well, I guess that leaves us then with dialogue. How do you create the dialogue?
So I don't have any time to do the comic. So I write it in my head on the way into work in the morning. So the first thing I do in the morning is type what's in my head into Notepad. So here's the dialogue, and I'll just copy it and then paste it.
And can you use any other? Could you use Word or Excel?
Whatever you wanted.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And thus we see the creation of a comic. So watching people do creative things with Microsoft Office is like seeing you show up on time. How's that? Everyone's surprised when it happens. Yes. I love it. Now, where can people find your comic strip?
On the Office blog.
David, thank you so much.
Sure.
Check it out. Hey, Laura.
Yeah. ask you something personal?
Sure, Tina.
Do you office?
I do, but only with 2010.
Why with just 2010?
Well, it's what my doctor recommends most.
So just about any Microsoft Office product can provide a vehicle for telling stories. But can you use Office in a major work of fiction? Well, New York novelist Jennifer Egan did just that. Jennifer has 5 published novels, one of which was a finalist for the National Book Award. She's a Guggenheim Fellow and has won a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship. And her latest book, A Visit from the Goon Squad, includes an entire chapter written in PowerPoint. Well, Jennifer's with us right now via satellite from New York to talk to us. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on. First, let's get into your latest novel, A Visit from the Goon Squad. What's it about?
It follows a number of people's lives over many years, and all of them are connected to the music industry. The book is structured like a record album, so it consists of 13 small parts that are very different from each other in tone and feeling, but they all fit together into one big story.
Okay, and you actually wrote a chapter of your book in PowerPoint. Why use PowerPoint instead of just your traditional text?
I had been curious about PowerPoint for a while because I felt like I kept hearing about it. It seemed like no one used the word memo or paper or even presentation anymore. It was always a PowerPoint. So I thought if it's become iconic, then I need to see if I can use it to write fiction.
So how much fun was it as a creative storyteller to explore this product and figure out a different way to tell your story?
It had its joys and it had its frustrations. I mean, having never used PowerPoint, there was obviously a learning curve there. I think initially I thought, oh, it's just about bullet points. And in a way, when I got past that and realized that it was about structure, I began to have a lot of fun because I realized there were things I could do using PowerPoint that I couldn't do in conventional fiction in terms of revealing the structure inside small moments.
I anticipate that it takes a while to go through all the different templates and figure out the best way. How long did it take for each slide?
It really depended. I got faster, but my method was I started with bullet points. I always began with a list of the elements of the fictional moment. Then I ruminated over those and tried to figure out what their relationship to each other was. So in this case, it was clearly a cause and effect, a chain of events or a sequence of thoughts. So in a way, this was a natural graphic to use. What was especially cool was being able to highlight the beginning and the end of the graphic. And I think that was suggested in the Smart Art graphics. I'm not sure that was my innovation.
We'll let you take credit for it. Well, let's go. And also page 197, tell me about Mom Spots the Toy Horse.
Well, this is a graphic I actually used a few times in the deck because I found it so useful because it creates a way of organizing information moving from external to internal, and it also allows other kinds of multiple readings. But in this case, a mother is interacting with her daughter and they're having a conversation, and various other things are being revealed along the way. One is some history of the mother's relationship to the father, and the other is how the daughter feels about this toy horse. So we start with, you know, Mom Spots the Toy Horse, and we end with a 12-year-old admitting, and the most internal rectangle, I still play with the horse sometimes alone in my room, even though I'm 12. So it's hard to do something like that in conventional fiction to suggest that you're moving farther and farther inside the character without being heavy-handed about it. But here, the graphic itself suggests that, and at the same time, it allows you to organize information according to whether it's light or dark, internal or external. There are all different ways to read this, and they are all valid. They all reveal some kind of nuance or texture of the moment that would be very difficult to do in conventional fiction.
And there's actually a slide here that doesn't say much at all. It's a pause while we stand on the deck. What's the philosophy behind that slide?
I'm almost embarrassed by how excited I was to be able to represent pauses visually, because again, this is something that's virtually impossible to do in conventional fiction. You can assert there was a pause, but there is no actual pause happening there. The reader is reading words. Here, I can create a visual pause. And the whole chapter is built around pauses. It's about a kid with an Asperger's obsession with the pauses in rock and roll songs. And in fact, the whole book is really about pauses in some sense. It's about the tension between the way time passes gradually and we notice it suddenly as if something had happened when we weren't looking. It's that feeling of a pause having happened. So in a way, this graphic, I think, indicates the degree to which PowerPoint allowed me to reveal or make manifest the entire underpinning, the whole thrust of the book in this one chapter. And it almost scares me to think how close I came to not having that chapter in the book. At this time last year, I was writing this chapter and I had already sold the book. And that's a pretty quick turnaround for the publishing world. So I feel very lucky that it worked out.
Jennifer, truly inspiring. Thank you so much for coming on The Office Show. And you're kind enough to put together 10 tips of how to tell a great story using PowerPoint, which we're going to throw up there for you on The Office blog. And if people want to know more about what you're up to, where can they find you?
My website, jennifereagan.com, has all the basic information and also some kind of fun interactive stuff inspired by the structure of the book itself, cities and people over time and the ways that they interact. So there's a lot up there, jennifereagan.com.
Thanks, Jennifer. And remember, it's a visit from the Goon Squad. So that's the end of our story for now, but we'd love to hear your stories.
Absolutely. If you have a show suggestion or come across an amazing project created with any of the Office tools, you can always let us know at blogs.office.com/office show.
Well, hey, if we're done, I say we try that whole comic strip thing again.
Yeah, that was cool. Okay, let's get out of here.
Ready?
Here we go. So I think what would look good, is if we put little devil horns on you to match your tail, Tina.
Oh, my God. I've never realized how big your head really, really was. Look at that. Wow, you know, huge.
Can we get a Tina piano to fall on Tina?
Hey, look, watch. I'm going to shove you off a mountain.
Ah!
And scene. Ashamed of data dysfunction ever.
Side effects include greater productivity, time savings, better documents, and increased job performance. Get it today at office.com. No prescription necessary.